Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Hola! Can you feel the buzz? The electricity in the sports world, it's starting to build. Coming off of a big weekend for March Madness, of course. The NBA, the WBC, even the NFL. Feeling the fever. And the fever I'm referring to is spring fever, baby. Happy first night of spring. Now, see, I love spring because of flowers more than anything. And to see them popping up all over, despite the fact that it was about 21 degrees in my neighborhood on Monday morning when I got home, still, I can feel the hope and the excitement building. It's going to be cold still in some parts of the country, for sure. It's not as though all of a sudden the calendar changes to spring and officially the cold goes away. Nah, we can still have some volatile weather in a lot of places, and spring actually can be a source of violent weather. But it's really neat to me, anyway, to know that we're heading closer to flower season. That does mean yard work, which... it can wait. It can wait till later in the week. So yes, there's spring fever all over the sports world. And we know sports, just a microcosm for the rest of society and real life. And so there's plenty of excitement as we build towards spring in sports. And I hope you too have flowers that you can stop and smell. Or in my case, stop and take photos of the flowers. I not only photograph my own flowers, but I take the risk of offending my neighbors by sometimes taking pictures of their flowers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I don't trespass. I take flowers from the sidewalk. Is that creepy? Is it creepy to take pictures of someone else's flowers?
I think it's flattering.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't think it's a little awkward when I stop and... get my camera out and start it's my phone, but start taking photos of someone else's yard.
The yard, no. As long as we're avoiding windows or like, then we're fine. But yeah, just the flowers, no problem.
Yeah, I'm just a, I can't help it. I'm just a chill. That's a weird word for it, but I'm just a big fan of flowers in the springtime and all the different colors. And I do right now have my own daffodils, and pretty soon the tulips will be open. But again, that is contingent upon me getting my old dead stuff cleared out so the flowers can flourish. I definitely have spring fever. I hope that you do as well. It certainly seems like with baseball on the horizon, as in the actual baseball, Major League Baseball, with opening day now just 10 days away, remember, it's 30, all 30 teams on March 30th. Easy to remember, 30 for 30. But we've also got now the Sweet 16 on the horizon in men's and women's basketball. And just the way that we've got the NBA and the NHL, who are building to a crescendo at the end of their regular seasons, these last few days of March are always a lot of fun because they set us up. They set the table, if you will be a dazzling April. I am confident of it. April never fails to deliver. Now that I've built it up like nobody's business this spring in sports, I better not be made to look like a fool. I mean, that happens periodically. Just it's my own fault, really. But yeah, let's let's believe that April will deliver in sports. We've already seen some incredible upsets in college basketball on both the men's and the women's side. We've seen some drama at the World Baseball Classic to the point where we had a walk-off for the right to face Team USA on Monday. As I talk about, spring training is nearly done, and we'll see opening day. And I'm hoping all 30 teams will play and it won't be any weather-related issues. We still have moving and shaking in NFL free agency. The draft is coming up in the month of April, and the final few games. We're down inside of 10 games for most of basketball and hockey, which means it's about positions now. It's about jockeying for seeding and the kooky play-in tournament in the NBA, which I don't love. To that end, thank you so much for all your responses about the best postseasons in sports. If you didn't have a chance to respond yet, if you're just hearing it for the first time on Twitter or Facebook, we are taking your responses. Best postseasons in sports. Is it March Madness? Is it the hunt for October? Or I guess the hunt for October would refer more to the stretch run. Is it the NBA because you think more is better? Is it Stanley Cup with sudden death? Oh, two of the greatest words in all of sports. Or maybe it's something else. We asked you, and Jay and I will be recording a video with props coming up. Oh, man, I brought a box of sports memorabilia. Not memorabilia. What would you call it? Sports?
Goods. Sporting goods.
No. Ew.
That's what they are.
No. I would say equipment. Equipment, yeah. Or balls.
I mean, yeah, that works, too. That'll do it. That'll do it.
Chicks should never be saying that word, really. But like that. So we've got props to go along with our latest Stairway to Seven video, which we'll be recording over the course of the next few hours. And so then Jay will have the chance to edit, and we'll have that available for you on our YouTube channel exclusively before we tip off in the Sweet 16. So in response to all of your answers, we want to give you our Stairway to Seven, which essentially is a ramp up to what we believe is the best postseason in sports. Jay and I actually had a bit of a disagreement about who goes first and who goes second, and then who gets to name more than the other. So we're trying to divvy it up so it's fair. Every now and then I pull a power trip on Jay, though, and I can't help it. It's the YouTube channel has my name on it. The show has my name on it. Jay's like, I'll go first and I'll go last. I was like,
just tell me. We'll do it that way.
Jay is the YouTube star, though. You know that people love to see Jay on YouTube. They're forever asking me, can we do a video version of Ask Jay Anything? First of all, our response is we did that. There is one on our YouTube channel. It was 10 questions to get to know producer Jay. Second of all, no, Ask Jay Anything is not nearly as cool as Ask Amy Anything.
No, I'm not that interesting.
That's not what I meant.
Well, I'll say it. But
the response
there, though,
to every question is candy. That's the response. Candy and soda is the response to every question.
At least 78% of them.
That's quite a number right there. Quite a percentage. But Ask Amy Anything is a fixture that predates producer Jay. I suppose I could help producer Jay put together his own YouTube channel. Wait, what happened to your YouTube channel? Do you still have it?
No, I haven't touched that since working here, really. I used to do that more when I just had, you know, time. It's a lot of work, those YouTube channels.
Well, would you like me to help you start your YouTube channel?
As opposed to you helping,
here's the thing. I don't even love YouTube. You love YouTube. So if you weren't around our YouTube channel, the show's YouTube channel would never get touched because I'm not interested. I'm not posting videos of myself. Do I?
Yeah.
Do I?
I think deep down, very, if you go a little deeper.
So when I tell you that I do not enjoy being on camera and that I don't like doing videos, you think I'm masking what is my extreme excitement over getting to be on YouTube again?
Something like that. There's a lot of good videos.
Do you
up
not
there.
Know me at all?
There's some really good videos.
It doesn't
up there.
Mean we don't have good videos. No, it well, means I don't enjoy it.
No, I was gonna say that that predate me. Like the skydiving video is a great video.
Well, right, but I didn't put that together. Someone else. It was professionally produced.
Yeah, that's true. But the spiral video is a good video.
That was no. under duress. Isaac made me look like a total doofus. Well, in the first one, because I'll be fair, for years and years, I did not know how to throw a spiral. And then producer Tom worked with me. Isaac filmed the process, and I did learn how to throw a spiral. So, yes, those videos were super popular. But you'll just have to take my word for it. I feel very awkward on camera. So to that end, coming up on Tuesday morning, oh, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. I have to, well, I agreed to. I didn't have to. I agreed to speak to a college class in Rhode Island. And so a friend of mine, a former colleague in the business back when I was a radio host in Providence, asked me if I would speak to his class. Oh, it just so happens that the class is 11 o'clock Eastern time. Ouch. But at least I get to be on Zoom as opposed to being in person. I told him there's no way I could get to Rhode Island at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. So I am thankful for the video mechanism. I just don't enjoy being on camera. I don't. There's a reason why I do radio for a living and not TV.
Carving pumpkins. It's fun.
Stabbing pumpkins.
Stabbing,
carving. We made the pumpkin cry. It was just terrible. No, I do this for Jay so that he's happy. He may not believe me, but that's the reason why I do it, is just so Jay continues to work here. Otherwise, the conditions are so poor that he might go away. I have to try to keep Jay happy as much as possible.
I literally could just laugh. That's all I'm going to do here.
I can neither confirm nor deny. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us a Monday night. Yes, it is officially the spring season, even though we likely will have some cold weather still. The northern half of the United States, I suppose, northern climes. Definitely not the case in Miami, where not only do we have the warmer weather already, you're welcome, Florida, but we've also got what have been some pretty intense, heated battles in the World Baseball Classic, most recently between Japan and Mexico in the semifinals for the right to play Team USA on Monday night.
A 2-2 pitch to Yoshida is golfed down the line. It's hooking way up there towards the pole. It's gone! It's tied! An iconic swing! Where he knocked in five. Back spins a fly ball to left that sends a Rosarena to the track, to the wall. That one is...
On Fox Sports 1, FS1, that's Joe Davis. And yeah, we had everything from lead changes, really Mexico able to get to the Japanese pitchers early. Their 21-year-old starter, who's a bit of a phenom. Don't know if he had nerves or if just the bats were cooking for Mexico right off the top. But this was one of those games in which it felt like every pitch counted, and that's a taste of October. I know there's been a debate about whether or not Major League players should be in the World Baseball Classic. In my opinion, you cannot keep some of these players out. You can't tell them, even if they do have contracts that pay them a lot of money in MLB and for their clubs, you can't tell them this isn't important, especially not when you see how much they celebrate, how they revel in the national pride in wearing a uniform that represents their nation, coming together to wear the colors of their nations, and then the intensity of it all. These men very often believe that playing and succeeding for their country, wearing their national colors, is just as important, if not more important, then participating in Major League Baseball and getting to the postseason that we talked about in October in the World Series. Some of them have said that from some of these Hispanic countries. But also, we're seeing the incredible, the spirit, the joy, I would say unadulterated joy, the energy, the enthusiasm. Shohei Ohtani showing off all these emotions that we don't see from him very often. Now, I wouldn't say never, because he brings that same intensity to Major League Baseball. But did you see the difference really between the WBC and their jobs? That's what I felt like when I was watching more recently the knockout stage games, where it's almost like kids playing a game and it's joy and it's fun and the energy and they're supporting one another. Certainly recognizing that they've got fans all over the world that are locked in. It may be the only show in town, in Japan, in some of these Hispanic countries, where for the regular season with 162 games, it certainly stands to reason that it's more workmanlike. It's their jobs. You don't have that same energy and intensity day in and day out, because you might burn out 6+ months of it. It's a little more of the, I don't want to say mundane, but it's a little more of the routine. And so you can't use up all the energy. But I get the sense in the World Baseball Classic, and I hope the Team USA operates the same way. We know that the guys on the American team have indicated this is so much fun. It's the most fun they've had in years to play for their country. They're catching the fever as well. So I hope the same energy and electricity is there for Tuesday night's championship. But you get the sense for some of these other countries, and we've talked about it, that it really is the thrill of victory, but also the agony of defeat. This is a tournament that, while it may be an exhibition, means so much to them to have the chance to represent not only their nation, to play with others who have followed a similar path, but then to do it for the fans and for the people at home who are hanging on every pitch. There's such a sense of urgency to it. And I've really enjoyed seeing how much they are pouring into this, heart and soul. And so it's an intense battle between Mexico and Japan. Japan falling behind early after there's a 3-run home run in the 4th inning by Mexico off Roki Sasaki, who's the 21-year-old phenom for Japan that a lot of people are paying attention to. And so most of the time, you saw Japan just trying to fight and scratch and claw to get back to even. So there's a 3-run home run in the 7th inning by the Japanese squad. Still, though, nothing is decided. Going into the 9th inning, there's been great defense. There have been some pitching performances, or a couple of real great battles back and forth between hitter and pitcher. Sets us up for an astounding finish. Now, Shohei Ohtani sets the table. He's not the man in the box with the game on the line, but he sets the table by getting on base with a leadoff double.
Last year, you may have made some smart decisions, and you may have made some not so smart decisions. Like, maybe you had a little too much confidence in that one crypto exchange. The good news is making smart financial decisions is easier than you think. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the weekly know-how you need to get ahead. Sean and Sarah, the hosts of Smart Money, break down the latest financial news and give you honest, objective money advice. Subscribe to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast today.
What's up, everybody? Nick Costos here. College basketball is about to get crazy, and BetQL makes it easier than ever to cash your bets. BetQL analyzes every single tournament matchup so you can succeed with your bracket pools and individual game bets. Which teams will pull off an upset? Who's going to cover the spread? BetQL handles all the hard work so you can win more consistently. Head to BetQL.com today to start your 3-day free trial. That's BetQL.com. BetQL.com today to start your 3-day free trial.
He can get a huge lead. Cracked in the air, deep center field. Thomas on the move. It's off the wall. Ohtani's in to score. Here comes the winning run. Japan turns it around on its last breath.
Ohtani.
in Miami where it was a sold out crowd that got to see fireworks of a different sort. Munetaka Murakami with the 2-run walk off. And this sends Shohei Ohtani home. He's celebrating like they've won the World Series. We'll see whether or not the Angels even make it back to the playoffs again. But this incredible emotion from him. You've got Gatorade flying. You've got a scrumble. Just, again, the joy that's there. Even if it is March and even if it is an exhibition. Also, some cool redemption for Murakami, who is a star third baseman for Japan. Get this. He's coming off a triple crown in his own nation, and he owns Japan's home run record. But earlier in this game, against the Mexican pitchers, he had struck out 3 times until the bottom of the 9th, when he's able to deliver a 2-run double that brings the Japanese squad all the way back, a walk-off to the tune of a 6-5 final score. Shohei Ohtani, part of that, of course, when he leads off with a double. 9th walk-off hit in World Baseball Classic history. First ever in the semifinals. So it's Japan and the defending champion Team USA going toe-to-toe on Tuesday in Miami. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Lars Nootbaar, he's part of that Japanese squad. And while many of them do speak English, for instance, Shohei Ohtani does speak English, maybe not as comfortable, it seems as though Lars has been doing a lot of the communicating since he speaks English, obviously. And so he's the one that Fox Sports grabs and wants to talk to about this ending, what just happened on the field.
I don't even know. I really don't even know. I'm still trying to figure it out. I don't know if you guys figured it out. I was saying earlier, I didn't want us to get like a flag or a penalty for too many men on the field after right there at the end of the game when the relay was coming in. So crazy game, man. Crazy emotions. It's good to be on top, though. That's for sure.
Yeah, what about those emotions for Shohei? So again, it wasn't the more reserved Ohtani that we see over the course of the baseball season. A guy who is always either preparing to pitch or preparing to hit. And so that consumes so much of his time. He really has to be working all the time because of the various roles he plays for the Angels. And yet, more like a kid, more like a guy who is able to relish in, hey, I'm not doing this all by myself. Instead, this is kind of that same joy that they had with the Tokyo Dome and the fans, how incredible the atmosphere. They bring that to Miami and able to walk off in the ninth, and he's hopping around as opposed to the Ohtani that we see that's more buttoned up.
Anytime you see Shohei show emotion like that, you know it's real. And so that gets everybody fired up. When a quiet guy like that with a cool demeanor gets fired up, it lights a fire under everybody. And so he said earlier he made up his mind that he was going to get on base. And I was like, man, I wish I could just make up my mind and get on base in that situation too. But you know, that just goes to show the greatness of Shohei.
On FS1, yeah, I guess if you're Shohei Ohtani and you decide you want to get on base, well, then you follow through. It just adds another chapter. I can't wait to see him back on an MLB diamond near us. But for now, one more game to go in the World Baseball Classic. So I hope you've enjoyed it. There have been not only sellout crowds here and internationally, but more and more people talking about it. Some definite spring fever, a cool buzz. Yes, there is the potential, of course, for things to go wrong. Think about Jose Altuve, Edwin Diaz, there have been others. It's clear it's a sacrifice these guys are willing to make, or it's a risk they are willing to take. I don't know how we as fans can tell anybody else, hey, this is not important. Compared to your job, it's not important. Because we have seen over the past several weeks that it is the most important thing to some of these players. And I hope they bring that energy and that joy back to their MLB clubs. We've got a cool surprise for you coming up at the top of the hour. I had a chance to catch up with Princeton junior Zach Martini. Into the Sweet 16 for the first time in this current format. Not only did the Princeton men reached the final 16, but the women also won a game in their NCAA tournament. You can imagine the buzz on the New Jersey campus. really cool to catch up with Zach as Princeton makes history again. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Glad to have you with us. In addition to the WBC, about the Golden State Warriors, they look at this final stretch on their schedule, recognizing that every game can be the difference between moving up a couple spots in the West standings or dropping like a rock. And their road woes, well documented, including here on After Hours. 11 consecutive road losses on the line in Houston. We'll hear it next, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Klay Thompson to Curry. Curry down the lane, back to Klay. Klay for three. It's up and good.
Well, they need that.
Yep. Curry with a dribble. Takes Nix. Goes by him. Up high. Off the glass. Curry putting on a driving clinic here. 90-84. Warriors lead by six. Down the lane. Porter Jr. Bad pass. Throws it right to Looney. Curry challenged in the backcourt by Easton. Maintains the dribble. Feeds Thompson for three. It's on the way. Money. Cold. Hard. Cash. For Klay Thompson. Off the screen. Curry elbow pass to Looney. Looney rotates to Draymond, to Thompson. That's a good shot. It's up and good. It's a three ball in the left corner. He was wide open.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Finally, for the Warriors, it had to feel like a long time coming. They end their 11-game losing streak on the road with a big fourth quarter in Houston. Okay, it's a start. I know the Rockets stink, but it's a start. 37-28 in the fourth quarter, and now here they are. They've got 9 games to go. They want to start playing their best basketball. For Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, the Splash Brothers, they combined for 59 points, and yet not where they want to be.
It feels good. It's one of those feelings like this is what you're supposed to do. Just to walk off the court with a couple more smiles on our faces and something to show for it. We know we have still have to play better. Like, nobody's really celebrating, you know, anything. It's just a matter of learning lessons and wins, hopefully, and getting ready for, you know, another big game Wednesday.
As a competitor, you relish in the moments of the most important games, and we're coming down to the home stretch, and every game is so vital for our playoff stakes, and it's exciting times. I mean, the postseason, there's nothing like it, and these, you know, last 7 or 8 will be a great warm-up for the most competitive basketball out there.
I like how we just have to take Klay's word for it when he says it's exciting, because he does not sound excited. That's all right, though. He lets his play on the court do the talking. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. They actually had a very slim lead after one quarter, after two quarters, and after three quarters, but it still hung in the balance. And what we've noticed and what you've seen with the Warriors over the course of these road losses is that they fall flat in the fourth quarter. That's actually been a major issue for them, which is crazy considering the core and the experience that those guys have. But the Warriors have not been able to close out games. So for them to be able to clean it up and not turn the ball over in the second half after they had 14 turnovers in the first half, I would say that's a step in the right direction.
Our focus level was pathetic to start the game. You know, we're throwing it, come into the game like this, and you know, it's a young athletic team. They're going to be in passing lanes, and we were real careless with the ball. So we're able to lock in. Coach challenged us coming out of half. We're able to lock in after those first couple minutes of the third quarter, and you know, kind of, I think we turned it over what, 5 or 6 times there in the second half, and 2 or 3 of them was in the first 2 minutes of the third quarter. So I thought we did a pretty good job of cleaning it up after a while.
Yeah, it's still stunning sometimes when you see the Warriors, the way they play fast and loose with the basketball, how often they can shoot themselves in the foot by turning it over. So they have 20 turnovers in this game. They give up 25 points off those turnovers.
You're a clown.
they get 26 points off the Houston turnovers. They're just, in this situation, I want to say lucky, but they're fortunate that the Rockets also turned the ball over a ton. Because you give up 25 points off turnovers and you are asking for yet another loss. They have more road losses than the Rockets have wins this season. That's crazy. I get it. A road win is a big deal, especially late in the season, but it still blows me away to see the Warriors' road record 8-29. And that includes tonight's win, 8-29 on the road. So here's how we stand right now with the Warriors in the West. They are a game above 500. They're sitting in that number six spot, which means they'd be out of the play-in tournament. They wouldn't have to do the whole 7-10 thing. The Mavericks lose tonight. In fact, the Mavericks are going the wrong way. The Mavericks lose, so they've switched spots with the Warriors, and they drop into the play-in tournament, referring to the Mavericks. But it's still extremely tight. From fourth, which is where the Phoenix Suns are right now, no Kevin Durant, maybe through the end of the regular season, all the way down to, we'll call it 11th right now with the Lakers. That group from 4 through 11, separated by just 3.5 games. And so there's a lot of jostling that could still take place over the final few weeks. But good for the Warriors. I don't know anybody has any designs that they might be able to defend their championship. Not the way they're playing on the road these days, but you never know. With that core group, what Steph and Clay and Draymond and some of the others are capable of. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too, happy spring to you. Coming up top of the hour, we've got a conversation with Princeton junior Zach Martini. You don't want to miss that as the Tigers are into the Sweet 16. We've also got a look at the women's tournament, a major upset with a top seed getting bounced on Monday night. Little more from the NBA World 2, an update on Ja Morant.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Up 5 feet away, spins back off for Randall. He'll try a three and hits another.
Bulls have numbers here. Conley off to Kyle Anderson, out to the right wing. McDaniels to tie the game. Yes! Tied at 129. Jaden McDaniels with a clutch time corner three in front of the Knicks bench.
Randall's thought about a three. Will slow it down behind the line, dribbling between the legs, backs up, he tries another three. Oh my goodness, he hits another one.
Screen, Kyle uses that to the right wing, stops at the mid post, cross court, Prince, catch and shoot, three on the way, he got it again. 8 made threes in 8 tries for Taurean Prince. Timberwolves up 2 possessions.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Not one, but two members of this particular game, one Nick, one Timberwolf, able to hit 8 triples each. So Taurean Prince of the Timberwolves goes 8 for 8 from beyond the arc in a battle against the Knicks. This one taking place in Minneapolis. 35 points for Prince. And then Julius Randle in a career game, 8 of 14 from 3. So he takes a few more, but still strokes 8 of them. 37 minutes for him, 57 points. And yet it was wasted in a loss to the Timberwolves. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. First the Knicks and then Timberwolves Radio. Yeah, for Randall to have the season that he's had and now playing some of his best basketball as the regular season winds down or winds up toward the playoffs, whichever you prefer, considering last year and the fact that the Knicks would have loved to unload him on another team but couldn't get rid of that contract in an abysmal season, he really has been the Julius Randle of the year before, where he was not only a scoring threat but played like a big man, using his power and his strength to be an asset to the New York Knicks. So to see him surge this season and, again, to play some real good basketball, being healthy, being accountable, being available for the Knicks and for Tom Thibodeau is huge. Now, the Knicks are in the playoff picture. This was a game that went down to the wire. You don't love to waste it. But if this is the Randle that the Knicks can count on in the postseason, they could make some noise and create some problems for other teams. Though he would have preferred maybe not as much individual attention. How do you celebrate when you don't get the W?
Such a results-driven person. You know, I try to focus on the process a little bit more. And are we taking the necessary steps to get better and build as a team? So hopefully I will be able to. Tonight, probably not. You know, I'm a little upset about the loss.
That's tough. Hey, man, I'm proud of him. I mean, he put in the hour, put in the work. Hey, he showed what he can do. So, I mean, whatever that, I mean, hey, he went out there, he had a good night.
He played unbelievable. We just got to be better as a team to help him and make that career night feel like something special.
9 rebounds for Mitchell Robinson. Then you hear Jalen Brunson just understanding that when you've got a guy who is locked in, you don't want to squander it. This Knicks team has got a bunch of different pieces that have blended together pretty well. So I wasn't sure how they would mesh and if it would work. I still say they're one star shy of becoming a real championship threat, though once you get into the postseason, there are infinite possibilities. But to have Julius Randle healthy, and not just healthy, but using his strength and his size to be an asset, using his skill set, being aggressive too, and understanding that it's on him a lot of times to set the tone for this team. They brought in Jalen Brunson. Jalen has been, I think, even better than expected. And yes, the pieces have all come together under Tom Thibodeau. We'll see what they can do in the playoffs. But to give up 140 points, there's the big question mark, right? Yeah, you get a career game from Julius Randle. First 50-point game for the Knicks since Carmelo Anthony roamed Madison Square Garden, but you give up 140. Isn't that so the state of the NBA right now? You've got teams that are putting up 135, sometimes 140, and they're losing. Ah, it drives me a little bit batty because I want the two pieces, the offense and the defense, to go together, to come hand in hand. And we don't have a lot of teams. I mean, we'll see who can figure it out, but we don't have a lot of teams right now who excel on both sides. And it seems more and more it's just become a blitz on offense, scoring as much as you can, maybe conserving your energy on the defensive end and not paying as much attention to that side of the ball. And I don't love that, but that's what the NBA is now. 140 to 134 is the final score in this one at Madison Square Garden. If nothing else, the fans get a major show, but it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'm hoping in the postseason that we'll see the score start to come down a little bit, where teams are willing to put in the effort on both ends, where they're willing to exert the energy on defense, recognizing that everything is on the line. You do generally see offense not quite as prolific in the postseason. You've got better teams. You've got the best athletes still remaining. And so the defense becomes a little more paramount. But this is what's happening in the association. The scoring averages are up, 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 up this season. The Memphis Grizzlies have stabilized even as they're waiting on Ja Morant to return. It looks like Wednesday they will have their superstar guard back. Head coach Taylor Jenkins talking kind of, he dances around the return of Ja, hopefully this week.
Struggles are going to bring out the best in you. you know, obviously adversity is going to bring the best out of you, and all you can control is the work and your mentality, how you approach work every single day. Obviously, you know, what the group's done in his absence has been, you know, phenomenal from a defensive standpoint, offensive standpoint, you know, execution standpoint, togetherness standpoint. You know, that's obviously our expectation with Ja reintegrating with the team. He's going to, you know he's been connected with us. Player-wise, staff-wise, knowing what we're doing, he's excited to be a part, you know, of the group and get back and help his team, you know, for our ultimate goals. So I think it's going to be a seamless, you know, reintegration. You know, we know how important he is to us. You know, we know how important, he knows how important his teammates are to him. So it's going to be one day at a time. But, you know, obviously we've kind of set an expectation the last couple of weeks of how we're just approaching our business. This is how you find your best version of yourself, you know, individually and collectively. It's just the work you're putting in. Whatever struggles come our way, we've got to rally together to get through it.
Jenkins talking pregame about Ja Morant. Now, they could have brought him back Monday. He was eligible to return on Monday night, except the team felt like it would be better for him to get in some work off the court, meaning more conditioning work and maybe a little cardio. Basketball shape is different than regular shape, and so there might be a ramping up of that, but he couldn't work out at all during the week and a half that he was in this Florida counseling program. And this all comes on the heels of that live stream video of himself holding the gun, and some of the other photos that surfaced appeared to be intoxicated at this club in Denver, really just the latest in a series of issues for Ja Morant. And he's been away from the team now for multiple weeks. The idea being that if they can stop this pattern of behavior and if they can get through to this young man now, then it prevents more problems down the road. And this is about Ja more than it's about basketball. He's been thrust into the spotlight on this stage, and the immaturity is still there. And I know it's not always fair that everything you do becomes news, but that is part of being a young superstar athlete. You get paid the kind of money that you do. You perform on the stage. You're a household name. To whom much is given, much is required. And so for Ja, there's been a bit of a breakdown, and it goes back now a couple of months. We're not just talking about this one incident. You know, there have been claims of assault at a mall. He's had other incidents to the point where the team now, it's clear that while we may just be hearing about the fallout in the last few weeks, the team is recognizing this is an issue with Ja, because they're even considering a change of rules and a change of travel when they are playing road games. There's some talk that they don't want Ja Morant, and maybe others too, but they don't want Ja to have a night on the road in a place like Miami, right? Because the temptation to go to bars and strip clubs and get drunk, and I hope not waving more firearms around on Instagram Live, but that should tell you all you need to know about the concern level for the Grizzlies. This is not a one-off thing for Ja Morant. Now, do we talk about it if he doesn't live stream himself waving a gun around in a club in Denver? Maybe not. Maybe it becomes more internal, or remains internal. Maybe the Grizzlies are able to deal with it under wraps. Maybe Ja Morant leaves the club for a couple of days, but still they can bill it as mental health. He needs a break. Instead, the entire world is talking about these indiscretions, these poor choices of Ja. And it's come out now that the team is so concerned that they actually may travel home the night after a road game, as opposed to staying in places where there might be extra temptation. I guess if you want to protect your superstar and help him make better choices, that could be smart. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.